afternoon. I'm Leo Brown. Happy to be with you. Leo Brown, Almost Out Culture, current events, our Catholic Faith 50 Minutes every afternoon. Thank you for joining us. The DNC in full swing, of course. I haven't watched a moment of this other than the video highlights that I've seen. I did see Elizabeth Banks doing her Trump impersonation. I saw a little bit of more in the kind of GIF fashion of Meryl Streep kind of fist pumping. And the question I have is this the Oscars or is this the Democrat National Convention? What are we watching here? It kind of seems to be like an award show or let's all pat each other on the back about things that we haven't really done yet. So I don't know. We'll talk a little bit about that. And apparently the big highlight was, of course, former President Clinton with his endorsement of his wife and telling the story of their romance and all of the above. And I tell you, I want to get to that because I know there's a lot of criticism of this guy. He said something that I agree with 1,000%. And then I want to talk about this dynamic of relationship that seems to be interesting, given the Clinton history, but why it's very Catholic, even though they're not. We'll get to all of that and more. I'm Leo Brown. Leo Brown, Almost Hour, back after this.
You're listening to Breadbox Media. Find out more at breadboxmedia.com.
Good afternoon. We're back. I'm Leo Brown. Happy to be with you, Leo Brown. Almost Hour. Culture, current events. Catholic faith, we talk about those three things, and only those three things, exclusively those three things, every afternoon. The DNC in full swing, I want to get into that, but first I want to read this press release that was issued by Archbishop Kurtz of the USCCB, of course, in response to yesterday's news out of Normandy. It says the Catholic faithful around the world experienced the shock and sadness of this morning's barbaric attack. And he talks about the church there in France as if the loss was our very own parish. We pray for Father Hamal and his parishioners, knowing, as St. Paul stated, regarding the body of Christ, if one suffers, all parts suffer with it. The Holy Mass is the most sacred and joyful act we as Catholics celebrate. Never are we closer to our Lord Jesus Christ than when we receive the Eucharist. No act of desecration, no matter how vile, can obscure the merciful presence of God. Jesus calls us to be sisters and brothers, to strive to care for one another, and always to reject evil that seeks to divide us. We give thanks to God for the unforgettable witness of the faithful this morning. So it press release from yesterday from the president of the USCCB, Archbishop Kurtz, and just horrific, chilling, terrible situation when we talked briefly about this yesterday with Father Thomas Loya, and his response was, hey, we need to be proactive now. We need to realize that this can happen anywhere. Of course it can. And there are some things that we can do. We can be prepared for it. But the one thing that I've seen just since yesterday is now, as is often the case in any of these situations, as frequent as they unfortunately are, these become areas of shrines, right? There's already this type of response. And I couldn't help but think as I saw these images, and actually even before I saw these images, is that this is what we do as Catholics, right? We honor those who have paid the ultimate sacrifice. We have the historical record you name it, whatever these events that have been the most horrific events, go to the Holy Land and see the way of the cross, the path that Jesus took on his way to Calvary. These are commemorated areas of memory and of pilgrimage, and we do this. The obelisk, am I saying this right? The monument there in the middle of St. Peter's Square, where we understand is where St. Peter was crucified. We honor this. We know that these are powerful remembrances of the grace of the martyrs. And here at this church in Normandy is an opportunity for that to flourish. And we know the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church, and this has been what we've understood from the very beginning, and with the example that Christ himself offered. So we see something of this nature. It's not a deterrent. It's not something that would even remotely have us on our heels or certainly in retaliation, but simply to say, we know this. We know this is part of our faith dynamic. It's Christ did not promise us anything more than the cross, right? Anything more than this path that leads ultimately to our death and to our witness. And that witness is martyrdom, whether it's white martyrdom in the sense of this remaining pure and denying ourselves and navigating through this experience of life with in and amid the many temptations and remaining pure, or remaining steadfast even when faced with something of the nature that Father Hamal had to endure. So if we thought there was anything less, it's certainly not the case. But what's interesting is, yeah, you can't turn this one around. You can't turn it around. It is a deepening of the experience of what it means to be Catholic. And praise God for that. Right? Praise God for that. And it only strengthens the witness of who we are and why we do what we do. We don't go out and do things of this nature. We don't retaliate with something of this nature. Even the most extreme among us, and when I say the most extreme among us, I mean specifically in the Catholic realm, don't do things of this nature. And I would even say, even in the Christian, now, yeah, I know that there KKK claims Christian ties, and you can search this history and you will find egregious acts, no doubt. But when you look at even the most extreme among us as Christians, you don't see this kind of thing. And certainly not as Catholics, nothing. But what we do have is a very deep-rooted heritage of martyrdom. And our martyrs are embraced with loving arms in the church, with the highest regard, because these are the ones who have proven clearly that this is the witness. This is what it looks like of staying true. Now, what I would love to see, and I don't know how possible this is, but to me, this looks like a clear case of martyrdom, and it looks like a clear case of sainthood. And my goodness, if we then immediately, as swiftly as we possibly could, recognized Father Hamal as that martyr and that witness and that saint, and give him every position of honor and respect and reverence officially in the church. What a statement. What an amazing statement. Right? I said this of James Foley, who, of course, was the correspondent who was beheaded after these videos were released, I guess, over a year ago. I'm not exactly sure when it happened from a timeline, but a Catholic guy who apparently was very devout. And I said, why couldn't this example be made? But and you could say, well, do we really know the details of the last moments? There really wasn't a witness there. There may have been this video, but do we know leading up to this? Well, here's an example. What an amazing dynamic, because there were witnesses to this. They saw what happened. And wow, if there was ever an opportunity to say, death, where is the sting? This is it. To say, look, this only strengthens our cause. This only provides more opportunity. And the one thing I questioned, and whether there's any validity here or not, is hard to say, but there's been a vast number of Muslim refugees becoming Catholic. We've seen it. And is this retaliation to that? Hard to say. There's certainly been a strong allegiance from the French government when it comes to American-led retaliation militarily. And then there's this very interesting history with France and Syria, because of the occupation of Syria, on the heels of the First World War. So there's a whole lot of interesting dynamics at play, but none of that matters. None of that matters. The political elements of this, none of that matters. When you see what happened yesterday, as I said, the dynamic of this is so completely different. And in a weird way, in the weirdest of ways, a very hopeful sort of experience here, because again, it just shows this is what we've endured from the beginning. It's not something that we've seen a tremendous amount of. Now, granted, we've seen priests attacked and murdered, and certainly you see this many times throughout African countries, and there's been a pattern of this, whether it's some sort of insurgency, and maybe in some cases, there's definitely been Muslim attacks on Catholics. And I mentioned this yesterday even with Father Thomas Loya, but this one's different. I think we can all agree. And interestingly, hopeful, as odd as that sounds. I know it's hard to say that, but my goodness, it's martyrdom. Praise God. Praise God. Right? It's martyrdom. I want to get back to the discussions on the DNC. I think that Bill Clinton said some very interesting things last night that I don't care what you think about his politics. We need to agree with him on this, and we'll get to that in just a moment. I'm Leo Brown, Leo Brown, Almost Hour. Back in just a moment. Redbox Media, now is a great way for you to go deeper with your favorite show or shows in our programming lineup. With our friend of the show opportunity, you get extra exclusive content from your favorite show hosts and lots of extra love from the shows and hosts you love. Become a friend of the show by clicking on the link on our website or app menu. Your $10 monthly premium membership will unlock an exclusive world just for you. Support your favorite show today as a friend of the show. Friend of the show premium memberships exclusively for you with Redbox Media. Good afternoon. We are back. I'm Leo Brown. Happy to be with you. Leo Brown, Almost Hour. Follow me over on Facebook. Join in the conversations over there. Lots of interesting things take place. Sometimes it goes for days and days. Sometimes it's kind of here and there. I made the statement. I believe this to be true. The individuals who are convinced that their only choice in the voting booth is Trump or Clinton, I believe, only think their choices for coffee are Folgers or Maxwell House, which both of those, undrinkable, right? And we got the same thing happening when it comes to these choices for the presidency, unvotable. Please realize that. And granted, yeah, I mean, still, what are the number one sellers out there? Café Bustelo, right? You could always go for that. Who does that? There's only two of those cans on the shelf ever, right? Nobody buys that. I do. Who else does? Actually, generally, I don't just go for the cheapest. I do try to go for something that's tasty. And I have found, as crazy as you may think this to be, that the Kroger French Roast is pretty darn drinkable for the price, right? So I'm always measuring that. I'm always like, what can we get? Not a name brand guy by any means. I don't care. We'll generally get the cheaper stuff. But there's a line that you could, because, you know, you can go to the extremely just barely manageable product that, you know, coffee, I got to have a little bit of discernment. And I do have much more discernment when it comes to politics. And that's why you've heard me interview her. You've heard me talk about her. Sorora Foss remains my choice. I may have trouble saying her name every time I say it. Soraya Foss. But she's got my vote. Still hanging tight right there. So the Democrat National Convention, as I've said, kind of reminds me more of an award show. And I haven't even seen it. Honestly, I haven't watched a moment of it. But all of the photos, videos, highlights, news items, it seems like it's celebrity laden, and it kind of looks like we're all out there patting each other on the back, and isn't that what award shows are all about? So seems to have that flavor, if you ask me. But I will say this, I didn't hear the speech. I haven't taken the time, and I did take the time to sit through some of the addresses that were out there on the RNC to kind of see, okay, what's this about? What is everybody talking about? At least some elements of them. Have not done that in this case at all, but I did see this one particular highlight, and I have to say, okay, that makes sense. What this guy says makes sense. I may not agree with his politics. I may not have always agreed with his choice of, responses to certain situations, or even the dynamics of certain situations. But Bill Clinton had some really, when he said to Muslims, if you value freedom, stay with us here and help us fight extremism. I thought that's one of the most insightful things anyone could ever say. Now, whether that was his line or it was written by a speechwriter for him, neither here nor there. I think that the ethic of that is one of the most powerful things anyone can say. And those are words of unity. And you got to admit, yeah, this was undoubtedly one of the most amazing strengths that Clinton had. I mean, he pulled people in, certainly many moderates, but even across the aisles, he wasn't always just at odds with everyone. There were moments and there were elements and certainly particular issues, abortion one of them, where he would go kind of fisticuffs on things and he would fight very vehemently for what he believed were principles that were straw men, essentially. And one of those was the fact that he was famous for saying to abortion opponents, oh, you just want to convict women. You just want to put women in prison. You're not going to be happy until women are convicts because of this. which is never a pro-life position. Donald Trump came out and said things of that nature on the campaign trail and was quickly corrected because that's not the ethic that we have, but seemed to kind of maybe suggest that Clinton was somewhat right in making that assessment. And that's not the case. But for him to come out and say what he said in this fashion is, these are words of unity. And why we wouldn't embrace this, why we would not, again, I don't care what you think about his politics. I don't care what distaste you have. And I know there's a lot in the hearts of many because they despise this guy. But there's something beautiful when you hear unifying phrases. I didn't hear him say it. I've only read it. But again, words of unity that I believe we should by all means embrace. And let's look for the good. Let's see what's good. Certainly seems as though that Black Lives Matter had one of the strongest platforms yet in this DNC, and that was with the mothers of a handful of victims, a couple of handfuls, nine, I think maybe, perhaps, who were represented there. And I think that, again, people's voices want to be heard, and we need to hear them. We need to hear all voices. There's nothing wrong with hearing a voice. And I think you got to realize that it's not about always agreeing. You when you listen, we can listen without agreeing, right? We can listen to anyone and not just reactively disagree violently. There's nothing wrong with, and it doesn't have to be dialogue. You can sit and accept a monologue. You can do that. You can absolutely do that. And then go, well, okay. Well, I appreciate you sharing that with me. Thank you. Right? Not everything has to open up a debate. Not everything has to end in shouting matches. But we think, well, if I oppose these views, then I can't even listen to this person. That's crazy. And as long as we have that attitude, I don't think we're going to get anywhere. And when there are those who are hurting and who are suffering and who have had the most painful of all experiences in their life, why would we not listen? Why do we want to simply shut them down and say, how dare you do that? Or, as I've said before, co-opt their message and turn it into something else. Why would we do that? It's so bizarre that we have this attitude of, we're gonna hold our ground, or we're gonna take this attitude of push back. Well, if I get to listen to you, then you get to listen to me. Well, who says that? Why? Just listen. Pope Francis has this message of a real challenging message to say, take the time to listen. I'm the world's worst. Now, I think those who know me would say that generally I don't talk as much as I do on the show, right? I hope this is the absolute most I speak in any given time of any given day is when I'm here, because generally I do try to listen. I try. Now I get distracted, right? That's the one thing, because I may be listening to you while at the same time I know I got a dozen fires burning in the background. And that's tough, because it's not distractions like, ooh, something shiny. It's like, yeah, I'm going to listen, but my goodness, I know this thing's burning out of control behind me, and I have got to pay attention to that at some point today, or it's gone. I have got to address this, but I'm going to stop. I'm going to try to focus. I'm going to do what I can. Not easy, but in a situation like this, my goodness, right? Here are families who are struggling. here are, I mean, these are people who have had a very difficult situation that has continued to escalate, and it seems as though there's no relief for them. Listen, let's just listen. Let's give them a platform of and a voice. I mean, my goodness, this is what pro-lifers say. We want to protect the innocent. We want to give these individuals who are never given the opportunity to be born a platform. We want to speak for the unborn. We want to stand with them and stand for them. Well, then extend that attitude. Extend it. Don't just make it exclusive. Yes. Make it inclusive. Include that innocent group, my goodness, that has to be stood for, of course. But don't just leave it there. Extend that mercy. Extend that grace. You talk about credibility? When you start doing that kind of stuff, you've got it. You've won. You have made the statement. Consider that. Back with more in just a moment. I'm Leo Brown. Leo Brown, Almost Hour. Back after this.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.
Good afternoon, we're back. I'm Leo Brown. Happy to be with you, Leo Brown, Almost Hour. Culture, current events, we talk about that. Oh, and our Catholic faith, we can't forget that, yes. And believe it or not, they are congruent. We can embrace all of this at the same time. And kind of what I was talking about before, you can be in it and not be consumed by it. We got to be in it to transform it. Whatever it is. Whatever it is. I don't care what it is. Got to get in there. I posted this yesterday. Apparently a Pokemon Go player was mistaken for a suspect. There are those who say, well, it's because he was black. Well, yeah, police apparently were chasing a black guy, saw this guy running around, thought that it might be the guy. Just happened to be a professional football player who was out there playing Pokemon Go. The situation was squared away. But, of course, another opportunity for those to jump on a bandwagon. Now, there's a line here. There's a line. I'm not even going to go as far as to say it's a fine line. I'm going to say it's a clear line, right? We know that there are issues, there are challenges, and we have to be cognizant and, receptive. We got to be receptive to that. But when it gets to this point where it's, this guy was not targeted because he was playing Pokemon Go. This guy was in the wrong place at the wrong time. And fortunately, nothing bad happened. It made the news, apparently, because he tweeted about it or Facebooked about it or whatever it was. And then outlets picked it up and like, oh, okay, so that's all you got to do. Pokemon Go, watch out. If you're black and you're doing this. But I was literally on the phone with a friend of mine who happens to be, by all outward appearances, African-American, even though he's biracial. And he's like, I got to go. And he was getting stopped by the police. And when he called me back, he said, I just got pulled over. And I said, oh, my goodness. Right? He's like, I did everything right. Yeah. And I said to him, I said, well, yeah, but it's just a shame. It's a shame you got to do things right. Yeah, we've all got to do things right. Yes, we've all got to do things right. But when you got to be that hypervigilant, because that's a dynamic now, right? So, again, there's a clear line, and some stuff gets out of control. But it's kind of like what I said yesterday, and I believe this. I think, and I'm sure there are other categories. I don't think it's only these three, but these are the three that really kind of make sense to me in this dynamic, and that is the fact that all priests were considered bad at one time and looked at suspiciously. All Muslims are looked at suspiciously and considered bad. And there's certainly the same dynamic when it comes to the police officers. So it's these things happen, unfortunately, and there are waves of this, as we know. But the line is clear, and I don't think just because somebody's playing Pokemon Go, there's a problem, or there's going to be a problem. You know, and interesting, I was talking about the former president, Bill Clinton, and his address to the DNC, and just the charm that this guy's got, right? I mean, my goodness, this is kind of what's propelled him from the beginning. He's just had this ability to say the right thing at the right time and the right way. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm not a judge of this, but you know, if I'm looking at Bill Clinton, I'm looking at George Clooney, right? I could go, yeah. George Clooney is obviously a better looking guy than this guy, right? If I'm looking at Bill Clinton, I'm looking at Brad Pitt. I could go, oh, yeah. Oh, I think Brad Pitt's kind of winning this one, right? But he just has this ability to charm the heck out of anyone at any time. And obviously, I think this is what created problems for him along the way. But this is amazing to me because, you know, I don't know the stat. I'm pulling this out, so don't hold me to this. And I think you know that I try to keep facts straight and I try to present things with as much information as I possibly can. I'm pure speculation when I say this. But my guess is, most situations, marital infidelity episodes result in divorce. My guess is, I'm guessing that's the case. And I would say many divorces are precipitated by infidelity. I think it's fair. Is that a fair assessment? I think we could probably say that. And I think there's also a dynamic, and I know this growing up as a Baptist and then evangelical, if that were to occur in a marriage, grounds, complete grounds, no question, almost unquestionable, you can walk the heck out, you can get the heck away, doesn't matter, the marriage is invalid. It basically was a decree of nullity based on that action. In the evangelical church community, when I saw that happen there, and certainly growing up Baptist, done, over. But what I think is interesting, and this is what I said entering the show, there's something about this witness of the Clintons that's very Catholic. Now, Methodist is what they practice, and as we know, Methodists grew out of the Anglican Church, which is, of course, was a direct offshoot of the Catholic Church. So there's a degree of something there that may bear some resemblance when it comes to the, certainly not the sacramentality necessarily of marriage, but the sacredness, the sacred bond. And there's old 2020 or 60 Minutes, I don't know, one of those shows, interview segments of Hillary Clinton 30 years ago going through the stuff that they went through together. And those interviewing her, asking her the tough questions like, why would you do this? And, you know, Tammy Wynette's playing in the background, Stand By Your Man, you know? And it's, again, you don't have to agree 100% with everything all the time to go, you know what, we got to value that. We got to see that there's some degree of appreciation. And when I say that, I'm not saying, and therefore vote for her. I'm not saying that. Don't think I'm saying that. I'm saying, at least respect what you can respect. You may think that she's a crooked dealer. You may think that she's you know, the Benghazi thing was bigger. You may be a conspiracy theorist and think it's, you know, going all the way back to the Whitewater stuff and that people have died and you name it. You can think all that. You can think that. But you know what the witness is? The clear witness that's obvious? There could be negligence. There could be whatever. Who knows what the dynamism is there and how crooked you think someone is because of what looks like might be something. Literally, what looks like might be something. Here's what I see. I see a woman who undoubtedly has to be damaged by the experiences that she's suffered through her marriage. But she hasn't stopped. She hasn't given up. And somebody said, well, she's always wanted this anyway, and if that would have happened, really? I mean, this day and age? She could have gotten divorced 30 years ago. And people would have been like, yeah, you go, girl. More power to you. Stand up for what you believe in. Take a stand on this. You know what she did? She has. She's done that. She's stood up and said, I'm going to tough it out. And to me, that's darn Catholic. Yeah, I see a lot of things. I'm like, well, that's amazingly Catholic. And people are doing things that they don't even realize are Catholic, right? But here's one of them. Here's a prime example of something that looks like what the rest of us should do. You know, and Catholics divorce at the same rate as everybody else. We know that. Culture and Catholic, largely indistinguishable, unfortunately, in too many categories. But just because something is tough does not mean you stop. Just because something is not to your liking does not mean that it's time to find something that's more likable. That's not what our faith is designed to do. Our faith is designed to sanctify us. Our vocation specifically, not just our faith, but what we are truly called to, what it is that, how we express that, whether that's in the vocation of matrimony, through a priesthood and religious life, or the vocation of single life. It's supposed to be tough. Because without the toughness, we would not need grace. If we don't need grace, who cares? Do your own thing. So the witness that is the fortitude, right? I mean, this is, it requires that type of virtue. So again, say what you will, I'm going to give credit where credit's due, and I'm going to say, hey, you know what? Look at this. Worth looking at least for that purpose. So not saying cast your vote, but show some respect. So we have time for this afternoon. Thank you so much. I'm Leo Brown, Leo Brown. Almost hour. God bless you.